Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Can we just pray for a second? Father, I thank you, God, for today. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving in this place. Lord, I thank you that we are a people of power and that we're a people of faith and a people of promise. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have redeemed us, that you have set us free. Lord, we stand on your word, its promises. It means something to us. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right now and fill this meeting more so. You're already here, but I ask for more. I ask for extra. Because we can't do things in our own strength. We can only do things in your strength and through you. So, Lord, we just thank you, God, that you would meet every person's need here supernaturally today. That, Lord, this meeting would change us, that it would do something in us. It would change our thinking. It would change who we are. So, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done. And we receive your word this morning in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love to pray. We didn't pray this morning as a church, which is interesting, unless somebody was in that back room. But I felt like I needed to pray today. It's a good thing to pray. It is the engine room. It is where things are birthed, where things are done in the Spirit. It's good to see you today. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to say to us today. I know that many of us are struggling with all sorts of things. But, you know, we can't do this life in our own strength. It is impossible. Yet, we do. Let's be honest. We do. We very easily go back to what we would normally function in, and often that doesn't work. And so my encouragement this morning is that we would operate out of faith and that we would take the layers off, the layers of all sorts of things. We're going to talk about that in a second. So I'm continuing my message on the new covenant and what that means to us. And, you know, we talked about the first one, I talked about culture and experience and validation and how Jesus came and he stepped into the world of the old covenant and changed everything. And he did it not through argument or through force, like some groups of people in the world like to do today, drive buses into people and things like that, through force. He didn't do it that way. He did it through experience. And so he caused people to have an experience with God. And so when that gets validated, and then you have another experience the same and it gets validated, and that process keeps going for a while, it changes your belief into that. So that works in the positive and the negative. We talked about that. The second one we talked about, I'm thinking now, there was the door. And what opens the door? Faith. Very good. If you're here, it was about faith. Faith opens the door. Faith opens doors. And it is the key that opens every door. It is faith. Jesus had to come. He was faith. Faith had to come. that all of the promises, everybody was waiting, the whole Old Testament, all the Old Covenant, everything was all waiting for faith to come. Jesus came and he brought faith. What? Faith in a Saviour. Not faith in your works or what you could do or the requirements of the law, but faith in a Saviour, faith in God. We talked about that. And today I'm wanting to talk about taking the layers off. Taking the layers off. So we'll be talking about that more today. Our mandate here, and I think it's a great vision or mandate, whatever you want to call it, arise, shine, and build. And today, I'm really talking about the shine bit today. My neighbour had some friends drive into their house, must have been last night, and he got up early this morning and washed his car. His car was, in my mind, perfectly clean, because I don't wash cars. But he got up early and he was there with the hose, and I just think it was a total waste of time. But he loved his car. He washed his car. He polished his car. He shone. It shone. I looked out and I was going, whoa, that's a shiny car. And our life is a little bit like that. Our new creation, the life that we live in Christ, there are layers that come and come on. If you're ever feeling a little down or depressed or those feelings of condemnation, all those things, it's like a cloud. It's like a cover. It's a layer over you. And what I'm wanting to talk about this morning really is this beautiful new creation that we have in Christ. And that we purely just need to take those layers off and polish up that thing, that new creation. Polish up that car. And so it shines the glory of God. You and I are all to shine the glory of God. If we were really shining, it'd be very glary in here. We would all need to wear sunglasses of some description. So we are to shine with the glory of God. If you got your Bible there this morning, 2 Corinthians, I've been dying to read this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 and 16. I love all of this area, talking about the new covenant. We are ministers of a new covenant. Verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. If there was one thing you need to hear today, it's that. It is Christ is the victor, and because I'm in Christ, so am I. I'm victorious. It's called Christus Victor. It's a view. It's more than that. It's a biblical view. And because Christ is victorious, so are you. And so he leads us in triumphal procession. It's Christ. And so it goes on, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. Who knows, the ministry of the old covenant was death. It was the smell or the aroma of death. Christ, however, comes and brings the aroma of heaven. It's the aroma of Christ. So it's not this smelling aroma that you might sit next to somebody and you go, wow, you have an aroma. You must be operating in the old covenant, brother. No, it's my life is to have an aroma of heaven. It's a sweet smell. It's my life is to exude, is to, there needs to be something exuding from me. There needs to be the smell of life. After it rains, and we've had plenty of it, you smell the aroma of the rain. There's this smell. You go out and you smell it, and you go, wow, that smells awesome. And hopefully people are smelling that from you in your life. It is about his glory. It is about this aroma. So we can see all of a sudden Paul is talking covenantal here. He's talking the smell of death, which is the old covenant, and the aroma of Christ, which is the new covenant. So we're in the context of new covenant here and transition. Come down now to chapter 3 and verse 6. And he says that he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we're still talking covenantal. The letter kills, the Spirit brings life. Okay, we're gonna read a bit of a chunk here because it's really interesting. It says it all here. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with a glory. So it had a glory. Moses and the old covenant had a glory. So that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was. So still even fading, it was too much to see. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? So we see this distinct line between the ministry of death, the old covenant, and the new covenant. They're two very different things. One is a ministry of death and the law, and the other one is a ministry of faith. Often I've heard it compared law versus grace, but grace is really the empowerment of God. It's really about law versus faith, because it's about faith is Christ. It's about Christ brought the new covenant. That's what it's really about. It's about faith. And we operate in faith. And we operate in the Spirit. Verse 10, for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. And we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. You've got to believe that it's actually been taken away. You're either operating in one or the other. I think when I had the door here, I had the door open and I stood in the middle of the door. You can't have a foot in one and a foot in the other. It is impossible. You've either got to be one or the other. And Christ is really leading us into a glorious, powerful life in him. That's what this is all about. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I don't know when you remember when you first got saved, something got taken away. a heaviness, a veil. My eyes could suddenly see. My heart could hear his voice, and life was just totally different. Who remembers that time, you know? And the glory started to shine out of you. All of a sudden, you started to operate in faith. You didn't care about anybody or anything. You were just doing it. And if you were in a church that was doing it, you were doing it more than they were. So if they were speaking in tongues, you were going for it like big time. If they were healing, you were out there doing healing. Who remembers those times? Who's still doing it? We're trying to. And we are having a go. But the layers have to come off. I'm talking about layers this morning. Layers that build up and need to come off. It's interesting that if we go back a second there. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. The veil covered their hearts. Something was veiling Jesus all the way through. Something was veiling God all the way through to this. And it was the law. The law was like a veil over the Father's heart, in a sense. Not really showing us what the Father's heart was really like. Christ comes, takes away the veil, and now the Father is exposed and his heart is fully exposed. He loves you. His heart has always been, I love you. Yet our experiences sometimes don't match up with that. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And then we know the well part, the really good part of this whole scripture. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yeah. Hallelujah. And we with unveiled face all reflect, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And that's the whole Christian process. We don't instantly get there. This is a process of faith. It's a process of things that happen and experiences. That's why I talked about the culture thing first, having an experience and being it validated. Having an experience and being it validated. It all of a sudden becomes your belief. So we are to shine like think of something that shines. The stars in the sky, they shine. The torch I use at work, it shines. It's a $400 torch. If you put it in your eye, you know all about it. He's got his shades on. So what are we to do? The Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin so that it so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Who knows, we all have a race to run, and it's important that we get this, because if we're entangled or we're hindered in any way, we're not really going to be effective as to what God really wants us to do. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Now, I've added some things in here. Let us throw off everything that hinders the new covenant, hinders what Christ bought, and the sin. So here we see the word sin, which is in relation to, again, the old covenant, because Jesus came and brought righteousness. He's made you righteous. So it's not about a sin focus conscious, but it's about a righteous focus conscious. You know that. We've talked about that and at length. If we just read Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, it talks about that Jesus came and dealt with the body of sin. He dealt with not with sins, but the body of sin as a whole. past, present, future. He deals with the sin thing and makes us righteous. How now I think about this, and that could sound confusing to somebody, but Diane read the scripture this morning. I have now been crucified with Christ. I now no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now, I live through faith in the promises or the work of Jesus Christ, whatever that last little bit says. But it is now identifying a dead person can't sin. It's impossible. It's impossible to sin. You have identified now. That's why we do water baptism, because water baptism is an identification with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the whole Christus Victor thing, is that you are now dead in Christ. You go with Christ in his death, so you now no longer sin. That might sound too much for some people, but then you have been buried with him, and then the best part about it is you have been made alive. Actually, Colossians talks about that you've been made alive. You've actually been resurrected with Christ. So it is a process. You're actually going through a process of the waters of baptism by faith. James Cameron has that movie where the... I don't know what the movie is. Somebody will look it up and tell me what it is. But there's a water cavern, and they're locked in underneath that water bubble cavern, and what they've got to do is swim under and out, and it's such a long, long way, and you've got to take a huge, big breath, and hopefully you make it. What was it? Does anybody remember the movie? I know, you're all movie buffs. But it's... Mel, you find it for me, Mel. Good on you, doll. She's a movie buff. So they take a huge big breath and they swim under, and one of the people in there say, "See you on the other side." And it's very much like that. It is a faith step by taking a breath. What is it? Pardon? Poseidon. Is that what it is? Poseidon, there you go. Hey? You're not really listening to me, are you? Good, good, great. We're all right now. We're all satisfied. Got your popcorn? Popcorn, popcorn. So it's see you on the other side, and it's a step of faith that you go through, and that's what Romans chapter 6, have a read of Romans chapter 6. In fact, I'm going to read it to you, just a small section of it, because it's absolutely, if you're struggling with this, read this. It's absolutely fascinating. My title in my Bible says, "Dead to Sin, Alive to Christ." That's what mine says. Where do you start in Romans? Just start at the beginning, I suppose. It's only 16 chapters. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism. So here's the process. Into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Wow, that's powerful. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Verse 6, the one I was talking about. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. You died with Christ. You've been freed from that thing. Do we sin? Yes. But the emphasis is not on the sin, it's about the righteousness of Christ. I can see the cogs turning, and it still turns in my mind too, okay? It's all good. But this is the truth. And it keeps going. It just keeps going. It talks about slaves to righteousness. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm a slave to righteousness. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin, so that that so easily entangles, and let us run freely into Christ. We need to run freely into Him. With perseverance, the race marked out. We all have a race to run, and we need to run as untangled as possible. Have you ever seen a runner run a race in a suit? In a what about a scuba dive suit? No, they're untangled. They've got the good gear on, the good shoes, the what? The spandex. The spandex. Yep, I love spandex. It's good stuff. They're free to run. There's no restriction, and that's the way we're supposed to run, with the glory of God. Amen. We're leaving behind depression, leaving behind fear, leaving behind shame, leaving behind condemnation. By faith, all of these things are left behind. They're part of our old. It's not part of the new. We need to come into the new. The new is very important. It's by faith. Gee, it's cold in here. I think I can. Yeah, I got it. My message this morning is about taking off the layers. I can't do this life with all of these layers on. It's really important that I get this and that I get removed the layers. Now, the problem with getting rid of the layers, it's going to leave me exposed. I'm going to stop at my shirt. It's the thinnest one and it's protecting me nicely. The first one I want to talk about is taking off the layers of religion. And sometimes it's a bit tough to get off. And sometimes you might need some help to get it off. Taking off the layers of religion, denomination, manipulation, entrenched thoughts. That's huge. I don't know if anybody's been mixed up in that or have had an experience, let's say that, of that kind of stuff. It's the smell and the stench of death itself. And I'm praying today prop this out a little bit, that the Holy Spirit would grab hold of any areas of our lives where these things still are hanging on. That any form of one of these types of layers that I'm talking about today, that by faith, I want you to walk free today. I'm pretty much going to cover it all. And if I have an altar call, I'd expect everyone on it. Me included. We've all got stuff that's sort of hanging on and restricting us. So the part that I'm talking about is taking off the layers, part three, new covenant. I don't need to talk too much about those things, but I know the Holy Spirit will reveal. And if there's a tug on your heart right now, if you feel that you need to forgive a pastor of the past, a minister, a denomination, an institution that might have manipulated me or whatever, I'm praying right now that God would get hold of that trench coat and just in his way take it off. I could say rip it off. That's my personality. Your personality could be, could you please just take that off just nice and slowly, because that one's part of me and that's going to hurt. The second one I want to take off or get off me, because I want to be unrestricted, is taking off the layers of hurt and pain, shame, condemnation, fear, and rejection. And any other one you can think of. They're the ones I just write down as the Holy Spirit tells me. I think we've all been hurt in some way. I think our brother talked about forgiveness last week. All of us have experienced pain. Some of us have experienced shame. Some of us condemnation. Any of those things are anti-God. They're not part of God's nature. His nature is love. And he wants to love on you today. He wants to heal that today. And he can take that away. That rejection, he can take it away today. The third one, there it is. The third one I want to take off today are the filters. Filters. Can I borrow your shades for a sec? Thanks, buddy. They're not just sunglasses, they're prescription. Well, that's a real experience, let me tell you now. If you look through, anybody has a look through those, that's a distorted view. And that's what filters do. It's exactly what they do. What you see through that, which makes you see, I can't see through that at all. They're pretty cool too, they don't break. Taking off the filters of things like, God doesn't answer my prayers. God's not interested in me. God doesn't really heal today. Things are getting worse, so get me out of here. Everything is all planned out, so I don't need to pray. These are all filters and things that distort the true nature of God and his intention. His intention was to save you, love you, and set you free. Not to bind you up and have layers of all of these things that man would say, But he's wanting to set us free from all of these other things. Now, I could talk at length about filters, but I'm not going to, because it's too deep and I'm not really deep. I'm just floating along the top of the surface in a bubble. I'll leave it to the experts. But we could talk about all sorts of things that have crept into our theology, that have crept into our way of thinking, that has distorted one thing. Christ is victorious, and you're victorious because of him. If we could just get back to that, wow, we would see a glorious, magnified church like you wouldn't believe. Who knows, as I'm talking about these things, you go, wow, there's so much stuff we've still got to deal with. Yeah, there's so much stuff. And as I said, the best filter that you could look through is Christ's victory. Looking through his eyes, his intent, his thoughts. That's why it says, give me the mind of Christ. I want the mind of Christ. What was he thinking when he first came and represented God here in this earth as a man? What was he doing? What was his eyes? What was his thoughts about women? What was his thoughts about ministry? What was his thoughts about you? Let me tell you, they were glorious. They were fantastic. It was freedom. We are to shine the glory of Christ's victory. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Even your computer needs to defrag, reboot, refresh, update, and every now and then a reprogram. Who knows, it works so much better when it does that. Well, every now and then we need to get on the operating table, the spiritual operating table, and take these clothes off and take these layers of condemnation off, these layers of the things that are holding us back from the real you. You were made glorious. You were made victorious. I see lots of nodding heads because I know it's the truth. And that truth, this little nugget of truth, has the potential to set you free. As I talk about these things, I trust that the Holy Spirit is grabbing hold of or tweaking on something inside of you that says, yes, I need to take that off. Holy Spirit, help me take that off today. I want to be free. Christianity really is about a relationship with a living God. He's not dead. He's alive. And that's good news. It's similar to a healthy marriage relationship. It's always growing and it's always deepening. The husband doesn't say, this is all I need to know about her. I understand her now. I no need to have relationship with her anymore. Let me tell you now, you'd be slapped to the ground in a heartbeat. Again, the Lord speaks to me in pictures, and I looked out my window again this morning. We saw the car picture, but as I saw the car picture, there was this old couple. They would have been, sorry for this, but they would have been in their 60s. Sorry.
You're not far off.
I'm not far. Hey, I'm only 8 years off it, so don't beat me up. Okay. Oi, oi, oi. He's really taking it off. I don't want to see your jocks, mate, I tell you. Now that, yeah, that wouldn't be a, anyway, let's not go there. The picture, back to the picture. This older couple, who are in their 70s. 90s. And by the way, happy birthday, Arthur, 88. It's today, isn't it? Today? 88. Man, come here. Come here. Come here. This guy, I want to let you know. Give him a hand as he comes. I would say he's a model of what it's like to just serve God, serve a church faithfully and without complaint, issue. He's got money in the bank. He's a nice looking bloke. He's my mate. He's not going to shake my hand.
You still need to go to Specsavers.
I still need to go to Specsavers. And we're going to sing him happy birthday right now. 88.
That one won't light.
Oh, it won't light?
I can't get it to light.
Hang on. Ooh.
It's
burning
my fingers.
There you go. Here we go. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Arthur. And God bless you.
Woo! Speech. He's actually going to say something. This is amazing.
Thank you to everyone here that's been so kind to me over the years. And I trust that I'll be able to stand out there by the door and greet you as you come in for quite a long time to come yet.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Good on you, buddy. Such a great guy. So back to my picture, I saw this older couple, they were in their 80s. 90s. They were in their hundreds. Now that would be a sight to see. They were side by side with their jewel caps on and their jewel things and their both the same shoes and they were like this. And yabba-dabbering away, you could hear everything they said. The kids, the this, the that, the car, and they walk up and they walk down. And that is a beautiful picture of relationship with God. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to look the same as him. He wants to speak our language. He's interested in you. It's really important that Christianity really is about a relationship with a living God. Relationship is constantly evolving. It's about understanding. It's about loving. It's about forgiving. And seeing differently is okay. You don't have to think the same. Be the same. God made you different. And that's okay. It's all right. Is that good counseling? By doing this, we discover truths never seen before. Staying open and receiving. And this is where I really, as we start to take the layers off, we start to expose what the Father's really like. What is his heart really like towards us? What is it really like? And it's, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. And to redeem you and set you free. That is the message of the gospel. I'll save the rest of it for another day. Well, I was going to talk about the Bible and how we got it. Boring. But actually, the way I do it, it's not. Okay? So next time I'm up, I'm going to talk about the Bible, how we got it, and what was in the Hebrew thought and how it all came together and why we got 66 books and not 67, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really fascinating. I'm going to make it fascinating. And then the reason why I'm doing that is because we're going to head into covenants and understanding the covenants, eventually getting to the new covenant, which is the one we're in right now presently and supposed to be living in there. So it's going to be very exciting. But I don't want to cut across what the Holy Spirit's doing this morning. If there's anybody this morning that wants to take or get before God this morning here, and could we at all sing that song, I Surrender All? Is there any chance of that somehow? As the guys do that, I'm not going to invite people.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.